This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast episode number 5, being recorded on Wednesday, March the 1st, 2006.
Hooray for Hollywood. That's gooey, bally, hooly, Hollywood.
Hi, this is Robin Goldstein. Every week we like to start Schnauzer Logic with a bit of audio that'll make you laugh. A parody, or a song, or something silly. This week, our last show before the Oscars, we thought it would be funny to do an Oscar parody. Until we looked at the list of Best Picture nominations. Provocative films. Serious films. Dark, gray, soul-crushing films. And after watching the trailers for Crash and Munich and Brokeback Mountain and Goodnight and Good Luck and Capote over and over and over, we fell into a deep and satisfying coma. But the good news is that very few people have seen any of these films. And according to Amnesty International, no one has seen them all. Which made us think we could do something different, something responsible, give something back to the community. So grab your popcorn and your Prozac and settle in for everything you need to know about this year's Oscars. All the wonder, all the magic, and 45 seconds of your life that you'll never get back. Enjoy!
They come from Chillicothe, these bazookas with their bazookas.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I've decided on a title for my book. In Cold Blood. Isn't that good?
You think you can outrun your fears, your doubts?
I think we miss that touch so much that we crash into each other just so we can feel something.
Something else, Winnie?
People, man. People.
Good night and good luck.
During a long rain delay, a baseball color commentator decides to kill some time by sharing a little trivia with the play-by-play announcer. I'll bet you don't know who hit the most home runs between 1955 and 1975, the color man says. Ha! Everyone knows that, says the announcer, Hank Aaron. All right, how about who had the most RBIs between 1955 and 1975? Easy, says the announcer, Hank Aaron again. All right, here's a harder one. Know who got hit on the chin with the most balls between 1955 and 1975? I'm not sure about that one, but I'm guessing Hank Aaron. Nope, says the color man, Liberace.
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easta, my friends! Son of Easta, and welcome! You have managed to latch on, tune in, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. That's right, this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast number 5, being recorded on Wednesday, March the 1st, 2006. And my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host, I'm your buddy, I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. I got to start that a little lower next time. It's like the national anthem. You know, you don't start low enough, then you run out of ceiling. There's no ceiling left. And anyhow, welcoming you guys to this episode of Schnauzer Logic. We've got a great show today. First of all, before we get any further, let me welcome my two co-hosts sitting across from me, my good friend, confidant, par excellence, Sean Meehan. Son of Easta, Sean.
Son of Easta, Robin. It's just what a fabulous day here in the great state of radio.
It is.
Online.
Outstanding. And sitting across from us both, the man, the myth, the legend, Parviz Vitali. Son of Easta, Parviz.
Son of Easta, Robin. Son of Easta, Sean. What a crappy day to be. No.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is a beautiful day.
This is great. This is our big Oscar pregame show.
Yeah.
And I must say that you two guys look incredible in your tuxedos.
Thank you.
Very dapper. Just, you know, you went all out today. Who dressed you today?
My mother.
All right. Who are you wearing?
My mother.
Yeah. That was what I told
my
therapist.
No, she actually made this. She actually made this.
I see.
Yeah. All right. You can tell the stitching is bad.
I see. Sean, how about you?
I'm great. And his mother. She had an extra.
Yeah.
I was in the market.
She's into snow sewing.
All right.
We worked a deal.
Excellent. All right. And I came naked. Just to add a little something extra. And by something extra, I mean...
The cum.
Class. Oh. What?
He said you came naked.
What did he say?
I'm not going to repeat it. It was so foul.
Wait a second. But for David, my friend David out there, who said that I apparently cursed more than the rest of you. So
I don't believe that was a curse word.
No, it was not.
No, thank you, Sean.
Tastes like a Powerball winner.
Why do you have to say Powerball? Why are we going that way?
It's very, very early to get me this upset. I was feeling so good. I mean, with the
you can never be upset with me.
By the way, we want to make a big thanks to Vice President Dick Cheney, who helped with the opening today.
Oh, nice.
He provided the shotgun blast and the misery at the
and that Wellington guy or whatever. He provided the body slam.
Yes, yes. We want
so
to.
He's
thank
the
them
unsung
both
hero in
he
this.
Is.
Really,
he is. We needed. It was the Vice President. He happened to wander by. He goes, "Is there anything I can do for you?" You know, anybody can actually do talk like the Vice President as long as you move all of your lips to the side. And by all of your lips, I mean your mom. No, but seriously. This is terrible. This is not the way we wanted to start.
Okay, let me just say something about the body falling, you know, yeah, the gunshot, the body. It sounds like the body's taking a longer tumble. It sounds like
it's going down some stairs, yeah, or something, too.
It took a little bit. I like it, but it
sounds
like
an appropriate length
fell,
to me.
And it fell a little bit more.
All right, well...
I have a question.
Yes, of course.
I have a question. Now, and this is movie theme.
Yes.
The regular listeners will remember this, probably, but you new listeners, and I know there are legions of you, won't remember this. Robin made a promise to us in the studio, and I believe a covenant with all of you, to watch the entire Heather Graham canon of films. And how deeply are we in?
Yeah,
to
we're 8 minutes into the fifth episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein is my name. The email address is robin at schnauzerlogic.com, R-O-B-I-N at schnauzerlogic, S-C-H-N-A-U-Z-E-R-L-O-G-I-C.com. The webpage is www.schnauzerlogic.com. We have an account over at MySpace. It's myspace.com/schnauzerlogic.
You're the Scott McClellan of radio. That's all I'm going to say.
Who is Scott McClellan? I just blanked on
him. He's the president's press secretary.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You just so artfully dodged the Heather Graham question. I don't think we're going to be returning to that, ladies and gentlemen.
I did see Pretty Women. I'm going to give myself partial credit for that. Let's see. Also, before we get any further into this, we need to say Sona Vista to our regulars, the cast of characters who join us every week here on Schnauzer Logic. Of course, famed legendary stand-up comedian Kippadot is in the house. Michael Zwirling
stroke
is in the host.
Or unload.
Sorry, Michael, I stepped on you there. And of course, the vice president who returns for the third week in a row with a wonderful, wonderful little bit of business. There you go. And, of course, his compatriot, Mr. What are you, Wellington?
Wellington.
Yeah. All right.
It's like he's taking down 15 books.
But before we get going, I got a little surprise for you, partners. There we go. It's time to play Win John DeCoven's Money. Here we go. What was the name of the first American sent into space?
You know what? I'm going to tell you this right now. Go ahead and stop the music. I'm going to tell you this right now. I thought this was going to happen, and I swore I was going to go on your website and find out the answers. Okay, go on. First question.
What was the name of the first American sent into space?
Don't remember.
Okay, what was the name of Donald Duck's nephews?
Dewey, Louie, and Screwy.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Partial credit.
On the
partial
TV
credit
program Laverne and Shirley, what was Shirley Stuff's cat name? Boo Boo Kitty.
Oh!
Name one of the two mammals that lays eggs.
It's that aardvark one.
No.
Anteater, anteater.
Spiny anteater. Yes, all right, yes, we'll yes, give yes, it. Yes, ding, yes, ding, yes, ding, yes. Ding. And your, where was it, what year was the novel 1984 published?
1949.
Very good. Which two boxers fought the Thriller in Manila?
It's Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
Who Bruce Willis.
Okay. Who was America's first postmaster general?
I forgot that one.
Don't get so fucking cocky there, dude.
I'm only getting cocky on Bruce Willis.
I know. You're getting cocky on the ones that you knew originally. No. You had a week to study up. All the answers are on the website.
And
you just admitted that you knew I was going to do this to you. All right. What was the name of Jerry's uncle on Seinfeld?
Leo.
Very good.
Good.
All right. And finally,
didn't I get 5 out of 10?
No. Yeah, we'll find a thing. And what was the only X-rated movie ever to win an Academy Award for Best Picture?
Midnight Cowboy.
Very good. He's trainable.
There was marked improvement.
He's trainable.
And he didn't even crib the thing.
When I went to the website, I saw the answers and I remembered the aardvark or anteater or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, that's outrageous because those. Oh, you know what made me laugh? Can I just tell you about last week's show?
Of course.
Okay, we're having fun here, and you give me the one that the mammal that lays an egg. And what do I say? What did I say last week? I said human, right?
I think you said whale.
No. I said human, and you said, "Hey, man, it's a mammal, right?" Or what did you say? Do you remember? I don't know. But what cracked me up is that you were okay with the fact that a human lays an egg.
I wasn't okay with that. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, that's okay.
That's
we'll edit that
the kind
that
of work they're doing in South Korea now. It's very frightening.
All right.
A moment ago, I thought you were trainable. But now I'm not so sure.
God, and you know what? I thought about it, too. I saw those answers and said, I bet Robin's going to ask me.
Well, all right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into the meat of the program, as it were.
This was just an hors d'oeuvre.
This was just an hors d'oeuvre, yeah. Because we're 12 minutes into the first hour of Schnauzer Logic, episode number 5. So I think it's a good time to take a break. We've got a lot of good tunage today, so we should get to it. It turns out, I'll just share it with you guys, that Norway is no longer number 3.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm very, very disappointed.
What happened?
With you. I'm disappointed with the Norwegians. Well, I don't know exactly what happened. They might have heard what we said last week. Or perhaps they didn't.
I think they lost that hockey game, and it's just a week of national mourning.
Maybe that's it. As of a few minutes ago, the website that had the press release had 36,617 hits. Of that, it was picked up by the press 692 times, so that was pretty cool. United States still number one. We're number one. We're number one. Unknown or other not identified as number 2, Germany. Germany now comes in at number 3. And I'm thinking it's the word schnauzer that may be causing people to be hitting on the website. Germany comes in at number 3 at 3%, 3.5% actually. Mexico comes in at 2%. Norway drops all the way down to number 5. Number 5 for Norway at 1.8%.
Was it too much music?
I don't know. I don't know. Right below Norway is China at 1.5%.
Ding, 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 ding.
Do you have some kind of little racist piece of music for every country? Canada. Comes in at 1.3%. France, 1.16%.
France?
Yeah.
I got this one. I got it. Hey, get off of my curb. Next.
Wow. Wow.
I was transported there for a moment. I had my eyes closed.
I was on the left bank. I was on the left bank. United Kingdom comes in at 1%, tied with Spain, comes at 1%.
Hola, ¿cómo estás tú?
Sweden comes in at 0.8. European, you have something for Sweden?
No.
I've got one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Get off the curb.
Thank you, Lawrence. European Union comes in at 0.8. Australia comes in at 0.6.
Hey, mate, get off the curb.
Israel comes in at 0.5, please.
La, curb.
Switzerland comes in at 0.5.
Nothing on that.
Nothing.
One.
You got nothing. Okay. Italy, 0.3.
Italy. Salgas de that curb.
Okay. Now you're not even talking. Now you're just having a small fit. It's a petite mal seizure. And then you just say curb. And that qualifies as entertainment. I don't know how you do that.
Only in my head.
Netherlands comes in at 0.16. I can't understand why there's such a huge spread between the Netherlands and Norway.
It really is. Perhaps there are a lot of demographic differences.
Could be.
Russian Federation 0.16, Bahrain 0.16, the Philippines 0.16, Japan 0.16, Saudi Arabia 0.16, and the United Arab Emirates are up this week at 0.16.
In the United States?
You know, they're trying. I think that everyone around the world probably knows the situation with the United States and the United Arab Emirates, and this is just one more way they're trying to inspire goodwill among the American people.
I got to tell you, if we can make the people of the United Arab Emirates just a little bit happier and help to apply a kind of a salve, balm,
soothing
if you will,
balm.
A soothing balm, if you will, to the situation, I think we've done some good.
We're walking the path of world peace right here.
Exactly.
Oh, that makes me feel great.
It makes
very
me feel
deep.
Do you feel good?
I do.
Do you feel it?
I do.
All right.
Have we taken our first break?
No, we're going to take it now. We're going to play a little bit of tunage from a band from Hewitt, Texas. The band is called Better Off Dad. The song is called Lucky. And then we'll come back and we'll get into the Oscars, all right?
Sounds good.
You are listening to Schnauzer Logic, the podcast with Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, and Sean Meehan, inviting you to please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Take my hand, take your hand and hold me. Think of a smile, that's real big, impress me. Acceptance of my apology.
Come out from under.
We feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Frisco!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. 21 minutes into episode number 5 of Schnauzer Logic. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host, buddy, and pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com is the blog page, webpage. robin@schnauzerlogic.com is how you send his email. So since last week's program, we had 15.5 gigabytes worth of data downloaded from the server. That translates into approximately 300 show downloads. So,
We won't be satisfied until we get a terabyte.
Well, that's what we're looking for. That's what I paid for, so that's what I want to download. So it looks like it's around 300. Now, some of that may be people who are downloading the show on multiple computers, and also we're making available little bits of audio and video. So the number is approximately somewhere between 2 and 300, so that's great. The other thing I wanted to mention is we have a whole new source of listeners this week. I got an email this week from a fellow named Ethan St. Pierre, and he runs a website called transfm.org. And this is a website where they list and play the shows of trans broadcasters, men and women who are transgender, transsexual, transvestite, trans-Siberian highway, whatever the hell it is. And they collect all these programs and they play them 24 hours a day on Live 365. And Ethan got our press release and he sent me an email. He listened to the show and he said, I really like the show. I'd like to include this in the rotation of the, or in our rotation. And I said, I would be honored to have the show listed, but we're not really a gender show. It's really a comedy show. And he said, I don't care. I have a schnauzer, and I think you're funny. So we're in.
Very cool.
So it's cool. So we want to say Sona Vista and welcome to everyone who's listening to us on transfm.org, which is a Live 365 stream. I actually got our start on Live 365 years ago.
Oh, that's right.
That's where we used to have the original Schnauzer Logic program, used to stream on Live 365. And then things changed. We're able to do more in-house here. But we're back on Live 365. It's part of transfm.org. And you guys can check out the blog at www.schnauzerlogic.com. Then as a result of being as a part of TransFM, these things all kind of lock together, I got an email this week from my friend Nancy Nangeroni, who is a gender activist and someone who's been a friend of mine for about 10 years. And she's got the longest running national FM radio program about gender in the country. It's been on for almost 10 years out of WMBR in Boston and streamed all over the world on WMBR and on a webcast. And she's going to have me on as a guest this weekend.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So we're going to be a little bit part of WMBR and Nancy's program. So that's kind of cool. So I'm pleased about that. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because on the one hand, I'm thrilled to be a part of anything having to do with the gender community. But I think to myself, it doesn't really define, like, do you think of me, this is a good question. I'll just ask you, do you think of me as Jewish?
No. No, okay. I think of you as very funny.
Okay. I mean, how does gender figure into it? We'll just take a second here. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but, I mean, you've known me before and after.
Uh-huh.
How do you see it?
I see it as, I met you extremely funny.
Yeah.
And I think you're still extremely funny.
Yeah.
And that's all I see.
And that's it.
I think you have fabulous hair.
Okay.
I do think you have fabulous hair, but...
I don't mean to put you on the spot or anything like that.
I don't feel on the spot. I mean... Yeah. Doesn't affect me or doesn't see you differently than I did 5 years ago.
Right. And you? How about you, Sean?
No, there's no difference. But I didn't understand initially that you were trans because there was an evening we were working on the radio. We were actually doing a radio show at KSCO. And someone called and made a remark that I thought was not only insulting and insensitive, but also just inaccurate about your trans status. And I got annoyed. I got pissed off.
You were. You're a good friend.
And then Robin turns to me and says, no, it's true. You know, he's obnoxious, but it's true. And I just thought, oh. And that was the last time. That was
the first time you called into the show, Parviz, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was the first time that you were
right.
You
I came into, yeah, I called
yeah.
in.
Yeah,
came,
you were yeah. you were a listener before you were part of this. Well, anyhow, I listen to Nancy's show almost every weekend on the web, And I'm so proud of her for doing this program, because I know that for so many people, I'm guessing it's in the thousands of people who have heard her show over the years, it's had such a profound impact on them that to do a show that's dedicated to exploring gender issues on a weekly basis for 2 hours is wonderful. And then I think in a kind of postmodern way, what happens when you get past that? What happens when you get to the point that being transgender doesn't require its own radio program any longer? What happens when you get to the point, you know, that being anything, you don't need a black radio show or a gay radio show or a alcoholic radio program? Well, that's Rush Limbaugh. But other than that'll never go away, you know, drug abuse. But what happens when you get past that? And I think, well, maybe we're just sort of that first toe in the water to the next thing, which is, yeah, one of us is transgendered and the other two are strange in their own right. But none of those things define any of those. So there you go. That's just one.
Funny is funny.
That's what I think. Funny is definitely funny.
Have you, Robin?
What?
Have you experienced people being distant with you, or even close friends being distant with you because you're transgender?
No.
Good.
I'm really blessed. I've had, I would say, of all of the folks that I know, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people who are in my life, either as very close friends or business acquaintances or whatever, I think I can count maybe on the on the fingers of one hand after a bad jigsaw accident, you know, how many people have been freaked out by this and have decided that they don't want to deal with me anymore.
My wife was actually thrilled because she saw this as a shopping opportunity. It's true. It's the first thing she
said.
There you go. Oh, great. We can go shopping.
There you go. Yeah. No, I think the most important thing with any aspect, you know, I always, and I don't mean to devolve into this, but we'll take the opportunity and then we'll get on to the Oscars. I really do want to talk about films today. I've always felt that it's very easy to marginalize someone when you don't know them personally. And then they basically become a collection of characteristics. And it's very, very easy to talk about those characteristics. When you know someone as a human being, now you've got a face, now you've got a name, now you've got all the other things, now it becomes more difficult to marginalize them. Can you do it? Yeah, sure. But now it causes confusion. Now you got to think, well, wait a second, I had this model of what it means to be transsexual or gay or any of those things, and now I know Robin, and she's pretty cool, and she's funny, and she doesn't put it in my face, and she doesn't, you know, she's just like everybody else. And in fact, she may be the most normal person that I know in many, many ways. Oh, crap, now I got to think about what I thought I knew. You know, and that's fine. That's, for me, that's activism. That is my form of activism, which is just being myself and going out and living my life and letting people observe me and be with me and laugh with me and understand that. That's the most powerful thing that I can do. And so that's why I'm glad to do all of the things that I do. But no, I've been really, really blessed. And I understand that that's not the case for everyone. And so that's why I say that I'm blessed. I don't expect that everyone has the same experience, but I've been lucky. And so as a result, I think my obligation is to, you know, what, pay it forward, as they say. That was a great movie. No, but that we will cut out. But my obligation is, you know, I'd read a book once about shamanism, which is sort of Native American spirit teachings. And what it said was that the shaman, in one understanding of shamanism is that the shaman is someone in the community who's given special knowledge from the gods or the universe or whatever it is. The shaman has knowledge that the rest of the people do not have. And the obligation for receiving this knowledge is to share it with everyone else. And if you keep the knowledge to yourself, the knowledge will make you crazy. So if you know something that other people don't know, that they can't experience, you have an obligation to share that with them using all of the tools that you have. And so my feeling is that's what comedy is all about for me. You know, it's sharing the things that I know.
Explain that to my stockbroker. All right.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, there is an information asymmetry between myself and my stockbroker, and he feels that by hoarding his knowledge, he's putting one over on me, and he is. But I'm hoping that he gets sick, just as you prophesized that this hoarding of knowledge will actually sicken him, drive him mad.
Here's what we're going to do. We'll take a really quick break. We've got a really funny song called My Work Friends by Mark Silverman. It's a terrific song and sort of seems to flow into the whole idea of friends. And we'll come back. We're going to go right into the Oscars. All right. So that gives you time. I know that you guys are filling out your forms there. So it gives you a little bit more time to fill out your forms. But back on the other side, Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, Sean Meehan, Schnauzer Logic. Short break. Some funny tunes. We'll be back on the other side. So stick around.
Viva, viva, viva la radio.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic. Well, these are not my real friends. These are just my work friends. They are pretty cool in their own way. We go to the movies. We go out a drinking. We go out for lunch almost every single day. That guy is a monster. He makes a lot of money. He knows how to spend it. He likes to do cocaine. He goes to the strip club. He spends a lot of money. Gets himself a hand job. They all know his name. But these are not my real friends. They're not my real friends. These are 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 not my real friends. That guy is a nerd. He likes to watch the Star Trek. Always wants to argue. He never seems to win. He has got a girlfriend. She is fat and ugly. We'd like to make fun of her, but not in front of him. That girl is easy after she's been drinking. At the office party, she always gets laid. Once she tried to kiss me, I didn't want to kiss her. I guess she feels lonely, sometimes she feels that way. But these are not my real friends. They're not my real friends. These are 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 not my real friends. I once threw a party, invited all my real friends, invited all my work friends. I thought it would be cool. It was a disaster, nobody would mingle. I was so surprised, good Lord, I am a fool. Well, you have been my work friend for a bunch of years now. And if I could be so bold, I believe that we connect. And if you'd like to be my real friend, I'd like to be your real friend. We can be sarcastic and we can be direct. Yeah, you can be my real friend. 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 These are not my real friends. These are just my work friends. They are pretty cool in their own way. They are pretty cool in their own way.
More fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. 34 minutes into episode number 5 of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Patali, Sean Meehan. All right, let's get into the Oscars, my friends. All
Have right. you seen Transamerica?
We're going to pass on that one. Get it? I said pass. Get trans, pass. You like how I did that there?
It was beautiful.
Oh, I'm so sad.
Can I make an observation?
Yeah,
here?
Absolutely. Do it.
Now, this is the first time I think I have ever seen this happen. I don't know if it's the first time historically for the Academy Awards, but all the Best Picture nominees are identical to the Best Director nominees.
That may be the first time.
And I don't think I can recall a year where that has actually been true.
So you want to go through them? Why don't you lead us through them? You're as close to the film industry as anyone.
Yeah, yet I haven't seen any of these films.
Well, you heard the opening. No one's seen all of the films, according to Amnesty International.
We have as Best Picture nominees this year, Brokeback Mountain, obviously a lot of controversy there. Capote, perhaps a forgotten gem. Crash. I've heard a lot of publicity, a lot of big push late in the year for Crash.
Right.
Good Night and Good Luck. I think kind of a dark horse because it was released so early in the year. You know, that usually plays against Oscar candidates when
right.
they don't come out in the Christmas holiday season.
Right, right.
And then there's Munich, which I think may have stirred up too many strange, ambivalent feelings to really be a contender. I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
I don't know. What about you? How many of these films have you seen?
I haven't seen any of them.
Okay, great.
But
so you're like Bill Murray in the old Saturday Night Live, where you're perfect to give your Oscar picks.
Yeah, so based on the hype, who are you going to go with?
Well, I don't think it's going to be Munich because with Steven Spielberg, he's got enough Oscars as Best Picture, so I don't think it's going to be him. Good Night and Good Luck, I don't think anybody likes...
George Clooney.
Yes, George Clooney. Okay. I think he's too controversial, and so I don't think it's going to be that. Crash, I know nothing about. Capote, I wish it's Capote because I enjoy that gentleman who's a lead actor. I forget his name.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I love Philip Seymour Hoffman, although I don't know his name, but I love him.
Okay.
So I wish it was Capote, but I believe it's going to be Brokeback Mountain.
That was a lot like when your college days. You were sort of loving without knowing me.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, so you're going for Brokeback Mountain?
Yeah, unfortunately, right. I think it's going to be Brokeback
Mountain. And Sean, what do you think?
I'm going to go for Crash.
You are.
I think I'm going to leave the mainstream.
Right. You got it marked off there?
No.
You should mark it off there. It's
I
on the side. Because what we do is, so we have official ballots here. And by official, that means I printed them from the internet. That makes them official. So we're going to kind of go through these things. We'll talk about films a little bit, and we'll mark them all up. And then next week, we'll see who did the best. And whoever did the best next week gets a prize.
Oh, what's the prize?
I don't know. I just decided to give a prize now.
I think whoever wins should challenge John DeCoven, win John DeCoven's money.
John DeCoven's mom apparently listened to the program, and she really enjoyed the win to John DeCoven's money.
Good,
now
good.
She wants to listen to the show every week, but John DeCoven's mom doesn't have a computer. John was lamenting to me that he now has to burn a copy of Schnauzer Logic to a CD and then give it to his mom every week. Like, that's
poor
the worst thing you'd have to do.
Overburden John DeCoven.
Like, that's the worst thing you'd have to do. Well, you know, I'm gonna go along with you, Parviz.
Whoa.
Only because I'm bored. No, I'm going to go along with Brokeback Mountain. As a matter of fact, I've actually seen a bunch of these films. I've seen Capote. I've seen Good Night and Good Luck. And I've seen Brokeback. No, I haven't. I only saw two of them. I've done so many parodies about Brokeback Mountain, I've convinced myself I've seen the film. And the film is only about a minute and 48 seconds long. But in my mind, that's the whole movie. It's
I saw the Saturday Night Live skit, and I feel that
That works. I'm going to go with Brokeback Mountain. It feels to me, from all of the other awards, the Golden Globe Awards and the other films, the SAG Awards, and it did very, very well at the BAFTAs, which were on last week. That's the British Film Association, the British Oscar Awards. It did very, very well there. It feels to me like it's got the big mo.
It does, but one of the things that holds me back, when you're thinking about the Oscars, I don't know if most people know how the Oscars are voted upon, but you're a member of the Academy, and what that usually means is that you are a geriatric white person with a lot of money who doesn't get around much and likes nice movies.
Okay.
So I think...
You think Crash is that movie?
No. No. I don't think Crash is going to win. I put it down as a dark horse.
Okay.
But I think both Brokeback Mountain and Crash suffer from this to some extent. They suffer from being a little too edgy. You know, most people who vote for the Oscars, I don't know if people in the audience understand this, they haven't seen the films. You're not obligated to see the films, and most of them don't. And some of them are very proud to not have seen the films.
Even though they send screeners out of all of the films so
right.
that you can see all the Best Picture nominations.
They
if you
send
remember.
Out freebies to everybody.
So everybody has
packages.
An opportunity to see them all.
Absolutely. There's no reason not to see them, but in fact, they don't see them. And oftentimes, they're very strident about, you know, I'll never see a film he's made. I'll never, you know, there are these kinds of conversations that will go on. So you kind of have to look at what the buzz is and what the audience for the buzz is.
Right.
And I'm worried about both Crash and Brokeback Mountain.
So you think based on the buzz, what, Capote?
I'm thinking Capote.
You're thinking Capote?
Yeah.
That would be very interesting because that's a very dark horse. That's a small film.
It is.
It's a Warner Independent film. And Philip Seymour Hoffman is certainly no one's idea of a leading man.
No.
And this is kind of a character role, but I don't know if you've seen him. He's been on all the talk shows recently. He's the most unlikely guest for a talk show. He's very, I think he's very self-effacing. He likes to lose himself in the roles. He's the opposite of Tom Cruise. By that, I mean he's straight. And
he just doesn't go around knocking up women and then leaving them.
Exactly. No Crazy Religions.
His feet have never met Oprah's couch.
He's kind of the doppelganger of Tom Cruise. And he's not... all right, fine. Well, let's see. As long as we're on Best Picture, let's do directing as well, because they're in the same category. You think that these two go hand in glove this year?
No. I'm... I'm so going funny.
You never heard that expression?
Never heard that expression. But
hand in glove?
But the funny thing about Brokeback and hand in glove. Go on. Just listening.
No, if the lead picture was a story about OJ, then I can understand why hand in glove might be the funny thing. But I don't think there are any gloves. And you were saying?
I'm going
to
go.
By the way, your nose is real close to the mic, and we can all hear your...
Oh. You can hear what?
We
can
the wind your... whistling through the nose hairs.
Yeah, says, yeah. No. So if you can... Yeah,
no.
Okay.
It's...
No, we're just kidding. No, really. No, we're just kidding. No, really.
I'm going with good night and good luck. We were talking earlier about maybe Clooney being a little too hot, a little too controversial to go with, but I think good night and good luck represents a film that Hollywood is kind of proud of. It's safe. You know... People in media standing up against communism, and people like to give, the Academy likes to give ex-actors, big leading men, Oscars for directing.
I see.
You know, you've got...
Robert Redford.
Mel Gibson. There was Kevin Costner.
Right.
There was, they like to do that.
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood.
Sure.
They
Barbara Streisand. No, wait, she didn't get...
Oh, why did you reopen that wound?
Sorry. How about you? Best directing?
Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain.
Yes.
Ang Lee. You're going for the Chinese vote. You think there's a big Chinese flotilla?
I do believe there's a big...
And I've had a Chinese flotilla, let me tell you. They are wonderful.
they are good.
The
they
little umbrella good. In the top of them?
Yes.
Nothing better.
He was robbed in The Hulk, wasn't he?
No. For what? Directing?
Ang Lee, yeah.
No. No. He wasn't robbed in The Hulk. That thing was all over the place. Did you see that movie? Yeah,
no.
Four different movies going on at one time.
No. Did you see The Hulk?
Yes, I did.
The Hulk you saw.
I saw The Hulk.
But none of these films. You know, we should... 40-year-old virgin, you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Wedding Crashers?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo?
No, I did not see that one.
Oh, you're proud of yourself. You're, kinda, you're like a great ape there. You're kind of rubbing your chest like...
there's a line he won't cross.
And no. That line is Rob Schneider. All right. Once I said, like I said before, you're trainable.
That's true.
I'm going to go with Ang Lee, too, only because...
Hey, don't look at my paper.
No. I think I'm going to go with Ang Lee, too. Now, I have to tell you, of the films that I did see, I thought that Capote was really extraordinary. I thought it was an extraordinary film. But I think it's mostly due to the performance. I think Philip Seymour Hoffman really carries so much of that film's weight that beyond him, the rest of it is fairly thin. I think as it needs to be, as a matter of fact. You want him to be the center of the film as opposed to Good Night and Good Luck, which is really an ensemble piece. There's a lot of characters in that film. We all hear about David Strathairn and George Clooney, but there's a tremendous number of people in that film, and they all have supporting roles to kind of build it up. Capote is really it's almost a one-man show. It could be a one-man show, and so I think that it's hard to give it best picture for the kind of technical complexity. Well, let's move right into the leading actor. We're already here, so Sean, you want to take it first this time?
I'm going with Philip Seymour Hoffman with Capote for exactly that reason.
Gotcha.
I think that there is something to say for Heath Ledger in Brokeback Mountain. Depends on the Academy's mood, but undeniably the most touted performance of the year,
all right.
I think.
I agree, although he's now getting his proper comeuppance. No, his proper his props. He's getting his props. That's what I meant. We'll cut that out, too. What about you? What about you?
I believe it should be Philip Seymour Hoffman, but I believe it's going to go to Joaquin Phoenix.
Really? Good night and good luck, the Johnny Cash thing.
No, Walk the Line.
The Line. Yeah, that's what I said. What did I say?
He said Good Night and Good Luck.
Yeah.
No, Walk the Line.
He was in a very small role in that.
I saw Walk
Johnny
the Line.
Johnny Cash was interviewed by Ed Begley. That's not right.
I saw Walk the Line.
You did see Walk the Line.
I did see Walk the Line.
And you were hoping that it would be nominated just so you could say that you'd seen one of the nominated films.
And I tell you, Joaquin Phoenix was truly absolutely amazing. There were scenes in that movie where he acted, and I thought it was Johnny Cash. It was truly amazing.
Now, have you heard that Joaquin Phoenix is seriously thinking about quitting acting?
And going into music?
Going into the next stage of his life, whatever. He doesn't need to work anymore. He's arrived at the point that he feels that working is not a necessity, And
hell, I'm there.
Working working on films is not always that pleasurable.
Just really?
And it's very disruptive, you know. And it is, because you're 3 or 4 or 5 months doing these crazy hours, and if you have a family or you're right, it's very difficult to balance it.
Any advice, if I can give any advice to Joaquin?
Yes.
Don't hang out with what's his nuts? What's his name? The guy Chocolate Factory, Johnny Depp. Don't hang out with that guy. Don't hang out with Johnny Depp.
And well, why though?
At the Viper Room.
Ah, because there could be some fatality.
Exactly.
Involved.
His brother River. Just don't give it up.
See.
Stay focused, Joaquin. Walk the line. I'm the advice giver. I'm like Dr. Laura.
Here's what I learned about in life saving. When someone is thrashing around, what you're supposed to do is swim out just out of their reach and then wait for them to tire themselves out.
And then go back?
Otherwise, they'll take you both down with them.
So that's true.
I'm just waiting. please continue.
You're leaving me to drown.
No. I'll save you.
Once you tire.
Once you tire. Once you can't hurt both of us.
Once I lose consciousness.
But right. But right now, you're still too much of a threat to everyone involved. So we're just going to wait for you to...
That's my advice to Mr. Phoenix.
All right. He swallowed enough water. Let's go in and get him.
All right. Supporting actress.
Well, we have George Clooney, Matt Dillon, Paul Giamatti from Cinderella Man.
None of those are supporting actresses.
Yeah. Oh, I went to supporting actresses.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, my usual downward left to right, I got mom all confused now.
It's number 4.
Yeah.
Judi Dench for Mrs. Henderson Presents. Anybody see it? Felicity Huffman, Transamerica. Did you see that?
Oh, we're a leading actress now.
What am I looking at? I'm looking at leading
actress. You said supporting actress.
I did, yeah. Didn't I?
Yes.
Wow, it's really random.
Wow. This whole area will get edited out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you went to number 4. Now you're at number 3.
I told you would pull me down. Oh, man. All right, Sean, why don't you take over this and let me have something to drink here.
All right. We're looking at lead actress now, and I'm going to read the lead actress stuff. We've got Judi Dench for Mrs. Henderson Presents. I am not familiar with the film. Felicity Huffman for Transamerica. Obviously, a great deal of buzz around her performance. She was certainly singled out by the media. Keira Knightley for Pride and Prejudice. Charlize Theron for North Country. And Reese Witherspoon for Walk the Line. I also heard wonderful things about Reese Witherspoon's performance. I don't know where to go on this one, but I think I'm going to go with Felicity Huffman.
Transamerica.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to do the same. I got to go with Transamerica. I got to go with the American vote here. How about you?
I had to decide between two. I do believe it should be Felicity Huffman.
But you're going with Reese Witherspoon and
Walk
the Line.
It's going to be Reese Witherspoon.
Because that's the only film you saw this year, so that's the one.
No.
She got a lot of buzz.
She got a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
And she's...
Well, she did win the Golden Globe.
That's right.
Right? She did win the Foreign
Correspondent,
so she won the Golden Globe.
She is hot.
And that's important to these 80-year-old white guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
I'm just
Dame
confirming.
Judi Dench or Reese Witherspoon.
Actually, yeah.
What does a Viagra-choking 78-year-old ex-film producer vote for?
And let's see. We should do one more category before we take our next break, right? So what should we do?
Actor. Supporting actor.
Or best actor.
Best actor.
Didn't we do best actor?
Mm-mm.
We did. Philip
no,
Seymour.
Supporting actor. The one right below it.
Yeah.
George Clooney for Syriana.
Great role. I saw that.
Matt Dillon.
I've seen the trailer.
Crash. Paul Giamatti, Cinderella Man?
I saw that film.
Was it good?
I did. It was very good. It was interesting that that film did not get... Everyone expected that that would be this year's million-dollar baby, the next Ron Howard win.
And died on the vine.
It died on the vine. You're absolutely right.
Didn't they even have a promotion at some point? Because a few weeks into the release, it was clear that this film was flailing. It
absolutely.
Was, it
DOA.
Was going down.
Yeah.
And they did some kind of innovative promotion where you could get your money back if you didn't like the
film.
They
made you pay to leave the theater.
Yeah.
It was free to get in,
wow.
But you had to pay to get out. Or you could let Russell Crowe take a punch at you.
That or was have him throw a phone at you.
Well, I wonder whether that's what actually hurt the film. You know, Tom Cruise this year did not do well with War of the Worlds, and he had a lot of bad publicity. Russell Crowe, at the same time that he was out promoting Cinderella Man...
Was it the phone incident?
It was the phone incident, the New York City phone incident that came around, the same problem. I've seen the film on DVD... And I have to say, it's a lovely film. It's a terrific performance that he gives. I think that Paul Giamatti gives a great performance in the film. I don't understand why people didn't go to it in the kind of numbers. I think they were tired out also by fight films. There's two. You can only nobody wants to see Rocky 1 and then in the winter Rocky 2 and then in the next summer Rocky 3 and then you need a space. You got to have a breather there. It's too
I like
much.
About 30 years between Rocky films.
You need some space there, and I think that it was the right film released at the wrong time.
I think that's a lot of the critical community is saying that. It's really interesting that this film fell so short of audience expectation.
Right, right.
And
be interesting to see how
movie.
It doesn't. It's a fine movie. It's crafted well. The performances are all terrific. It's a compelling story. It's an uplifted. You know, here's what's interesting. It's a small story. It's a very, very small and intimate story. Painted on a large canvas, obviously. Once again, no pun intended. But
And no metaphor mix,
and
really.
And nobody even got it. Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you. But
but I don't think they paint.
there's some boxers that paint. I think George Foreman paints.
He grills.
He scores.
but I did pick Paul Giamatti.
Giamatti.
Yes,
yeah.
I love that man.
I have to go with Felicity Huffman. No, wait. I have to go. I'm going to go with Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm going to go with the Dark Horse.
That's where I went.
I'm going to go with Jake Gyllenhaal for Brokeback Mountain there. I think that he has been underappreciated in this. A lot of all the props are going to Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
And without Jake Gyllenhaal, there is no Brokeback Mountain. There's just a guy up there alone in the mountain.
Who would he be quitting?
That's right. That's what I'm saying. All right. That's what we're doing. Tell you what, let's take another break. We are going to get to those guys from Modesto today, by the way.
Excellent.
Yeah. The band is nothing less, and we made a promise that we were going to get to them before the show was over today.
You made it to us, or?
I made it to myself. I said what I meant, and I meant what I said. An elephant's faithful, 100%. I'm trying to figure out what we're going to play next there.
He's going to veto any legislation we bring to stop the Modesto Boys.
I got something really cool. I think you guys are going to dig this. I found a hip-hop artist from San Francisco.
Oh, good.
Yeah, called Ghazi. And the song is When All Is Said.
Ghazi Strip?
See, sometimes when you rescue people, they fling themselves back out into the ocean again. It's like when you try to save the whale, and you can't save the whale.
Right,
they swim right back
up
again. All right, so we turn your mic off. All right, so that way you can't hurt yourself. Put big rubber bumpers on your mic. We'll turn your mic off. Oh, it's just me. All right. And we're going to play a little bit of Ghazi, and we'll be back on the other side. We're having a great time. We hope that you are, too. You are listening, my friends, to Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, with Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, and Sean Meehan, inviting you to please stick around.
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time.
And you thought this show was stupid.
What if this is as good as it gets?
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
''76, I reminisce on the time past since, dwelling on the irony of how it all began. How my met popping like that, there I am in a second floor flat out in Petrel Hill, barely tall enough to peer over the windowsill. And I can still remember how it feel to ride my blue big wheel, wasn't big enough to push it up the hill. Before I knew the value of a dollar bill, I was young and wide-eyed, overalls and tie-dyes. It's funny how time flies and you don't even notice, forging mama cig on the school help notice. Before I ever thought about a life in the biz, remember double dutch girls round the corner down the block, barely knee-high, knee-highs, playing hopscotch.
breaking on cardboard, hugging on my crotch on a black Tony Hawk out, skating to dark in my T.I. sweatsuit and my Nike Cortez. Back in 1984 when Ronald Reagan was prez, and to think that was way back when. Round 10 I found rap and it ain't been the same since then.
'73. I knew where I was going and I knew what I wanted to be. And in due time, I could tell you line for line. From the vocals that I spit, I wanted to shine. In time, when I said it to mama, I won't regret it. Put a wage on my music, never stop till I get it. On some wild out, 3 a.m. studio session. On some hype to getting paid, fuck all this aggression. In time, I planned it on my own. Maybe I'll just hit the road, visit all the places and travel through all the different codes. I'm in a different zone, man, I'm feeling right at home. You ain't gotta prove nothing, face me when you all alone. We had a pact when we cut it in blood. We learned faster than the average, had a choice, but we growing up. We had it sold up. Now I sit back and relax, saying, damn, if I could go back.
Just looking back at my life. Hey, yo. Oh, all that we did. Cause we were so young then. Hey,
yeah.
In such a long,
1976.
Long time.
Black child, MC, pink, white bridge. Projects, I had to go afro. Valley Medical, Valley Children's. Now the God building. I'm living good in the hood. Puffing my backwood. Rolling them old school cars. Weed in the jar. Marijuana in my backyard. I'm living good, God. Yeah, I just bought a gun. I just had a son. I'm about to have a wife. I'm about to switch my life. Right or wrong, wrong or right. My wife need a house and my son need brand new nights, brand new bikes, candlelight dinners at night, satellite television watching the fight, brand new ice, my chain hanging down on my dick, representing 93706.
Just looking back at my life, hey, yo, oh, all that we did.
Just sit back and reminisce all the good times and the bad. Remember this? From the cold weather's gotta turn to sunshine. And the things that we did, man, will blow your mind. It was all good, we were so young. We had the girls and the drinks, man, we dropped funds. It's a new day, now we gotta move on. I'll do it all over again, it's been so long.
Just looking back at my life. Hey, yo.
From the top of the Empire State Building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer Logic!
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are starting our second hour of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast number 5 for a Wednesday. It is the 1st of March, 2006. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual and patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And I am joined here on our show today by my good friend, Parviz Vitali, son of Ista Parviz.
Son of Ista, Robin.
And my other good friend, Sean Meehan, son of Ista.
Son of Ista.
And we welcome you back. www.schnauzerlogic.com is the webpage. Robin@schnauzerlogic.com is the email address. And if you want, you can join us on MySpace. It is www.myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. Not getting a lot of hits over on MySpace.
I thought you got a couple.
Nine. Well, I got a couple of hits. I got a couple people hitting on me.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need to get the 14-year-old girls in here.
Well, that's actually not who's hitting on me. I'll tell you who's hitting on me. The one and only Devontae is hitting on me.
I've heard things about Devontae.
The one and only Devontae.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's only one Devontae.
The one and only Devontae sent me a... how are you doing? Kind of email.
It was with that voice?
Yeah, I was like, how are you doing? And I also got an email from, who was the other guy that sent me the email? Tony. Tony sent me an email. Tony, though, Devontae has hundreds and hundreds of friends. And most of his friends on MySpace seem to be very buxom women. And the one and only Devontae, I think you need the one and only, otherwise you don't know they're talking about the same Devontae. The one and only Devontae, he has so much crap on his MySpace page that I could never actually get all of the background images to finish loading. But most of them are him. You saw the photograph of him.
Yeah.
He's actually a fairly, he's in good shape, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
He's kind of a ripped black guy.
Kinda. He's definitely black.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for confirming that for the radio audience. And he sent me a "How you doing? You know, you want to be my friend?" kind of thing. So I respectfully declined. But Tony was did not. Tony only had like 10 friends or 12 friends. So Tony actually,
he's one of us.
He's so you're saying I should say yes to Tony?
No, I'm just saying bring in those 10 to the dark side.
I see. All right. I hadn't thought about it quite that way. That's helpful.
I don't know if we would necessarily want Devontae's friends.
The one and only. The one and only. So if you have a MySpace account, please feel free to join it. Oh, let's see. I'll just take a quick sentence. A second. We updated the webpage. The blog page has been updated with a bunch of new buttons. If you go to the blog page now, you can click on a little button to the very far right that says help, and it'll explain what all the buttons do. But basically, some of you have been saying that you've had a hard time listening to the program all the way through because you don't always have iTunes available on the computer that you're on. You may have iTunes in your home computer, but not in your office computer. If you now click on the very first button, which has MP3, it will open a player right in your browser window. It lists all of the shows. You just click on the show that you want, and it'll start playing that particular show. This is courtesy of the folks over at blogexplosion.com. So you don't have to worry about downloading it. You can still download it, but if you don't want to take up the space on your computer, just listen it right on the webpage, and there you go. That's available. There's an iTunes button now. Any questions, just go to the help page, and that should be able to get you going. So there we go. And by the way, if you like the show, do us a favor and go over to iTunes, if you are a member of iTunes, and post some comments. Give us a rating, because that'll help us get us further up in the iTunes database, and then people will notice us, and they'll make us a featured podcast.
And say that you couldn't listen to the whole show because you didn't have iTunes, not just that you couldn't listen to the whole show. Make
exactly.
sure to really specify it's a technical problem.
Exactly my point. All right. So we're not going to go through all the rest of the Oscars, but what we're going to do is you guys have filled out all the Oscar forms, or you will fill them out before you leave today, and then what we'll take is we'll take all of the predictions and we'll put them up on the website.
Oh,
so
good.
There'll be no changing going on. So on the website, later on in this week, maybe tomorrow, we'll put up a page which will have the predictions on there for all of the categories. And then next week, we'll take a look and see how we did. And as I say, there'll be a special prize for somebody. It'll be a special prize. You want to pick one more category there?
Well, we can do Best Supporting Actress.
Which we should do, yeah.
One of the things that I just thought about this in general was the surprising lack of Cinderella Man in any of the big categories, and the surprising lack of entries for The Constant Gardener, and that will appear here in the Best Supporting Actress
now,
category.
I don't know any much about that film. What is that film all about?
That John Le Carré novel,
okay.
Made into a film with Ralph Fiennes,
okay,
and of course our supporting actress nominee Rachel Weisz,
right?
And it got a lot of buzz. It was a summer film, and it was a thriller, but it had a lot of critical praise.
Right.
And did not really crack the Oscars at all, with
the
exception.
It?
No, I didn't.
I mean, it didn't make a lot of money, did it?
I think it was some good box, but I'm not exactly sure.
Don't
mean,
know.
I
So what are your there's actually a few films in the Best Supporting Actress category that I haven't even heard of. I've not heard of Junebug. I don't know anything about Junebug.
Nor do I.
And I don't know anything about North Country. How about you, Parvis? You know anything about that?
No.
So
North Country is the one with what's her nuts?
Frances McDormand.
Charlize Theron.
Oh.
North Country. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I knew that she was in it, and I know she's not going to get anything for it because she already got it for that other movie
for Monster. And she was also in Aeon Flux, which I think disqualified her for any any Oscar bids this year.
They almost threw out of the union, as far as I can tell, for that particular bit of bad news there. All right.
I did pick Amy Adams, though, for Junebug.
You did pick Amy Adams?
Yes.
You don't know anything about the film?
I know nothing about the film, but I saw Roger Ebert and that other knucklehead over the weekend, and they were praising Junebug. And so I said, all right, I like Amy Adams.
You're going to go with the fat man.
I'm going to go with the fat man and that other knucklehead.
Okay. How about you, sir?
I'm going to go with Rachel Weisz simply because I think she is a Hollywood favorite.
Oh, okay.
I think that she is, you know, that little British girl who made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they like her. Geriatric, rich, white people like her.
But she's part Jew, isn't she?
Ooh.
That could count against her.
Did she show skin in this movie, Constance Gardner?
I don't know. Having not seen it.
Yeah, this is perfect because none of us have seen the film, so it makes it much harder to comment on, and yet a much freer experience. Well, I'm going to go with Catherine Keener and Capote because I like Catherine Keener. She's kind of weird. She was in 40-Year-Old Virgin this year, and she was not nominated for that. And so I think the Academy is going to try to do her a solid here and give her the nod for that. So I'm going with Catherine Keener.
Good luck.
And good night. All right, and the rest of them we're going to be putting up on the website. So there you go.
One of the other things I thought was interesting about this, though, before we move on.
Yeah, of course.
Visual effects. We've got The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. We've got King Kong and War of the Worlds. What didn't make the list but appear in other categories, so I'm assuming they are still available for all the categories.
Right.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
And the Harry Potter movie.
Batman.
And Batman as well. Yeah, I was very surprised to see these films not in there. Now, the technical categories are voted on by technical people.
Right.
So that's not just your geriatric, rich, white guy.
Although there are some old people in the Academy.
Well,
don't know?
You shouldn't know that.
Okay.
I mean, they go to great lengths to have their faces tightened. And
you know, the smaller categories, of course, are where places like, you know, art direction. Harry Potter was nominated for art direction, and King Kong, Memoirs of a Geisha, another film that I think people expected to be an Oscar. That sort of felt like an Oscar film and got nothing. What are some of the other films that we're talking about? Right, as you say, Constance Gardner, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I think there was some thought that might have been a breakout kind of performance for Johnny Depp. And was he in that film? Yes. Johnny, is it okay? Well, you got me all nervous now about not going to see any movies with Johnny Depp.
No, I said don't hang out with Johnny Depp.
Oh, but I can see his movies.
Absolutely.
Okay, fine.
I understand in Chocolate Factory he is trying to emulate Michael Jackson. Is that correct?
I don't think that's even close to being accurate.
Didn't he have a high voice, the white pasty face?
No.
Okay, I guess I read the wrong articles you guys read.
He was a swarthy, kind of hairy.
He was very Mediterranean. He reminded me of you in your younger days. When you were good looking and thin.
Oh my God.
All right.
Let's move on.
We'll stay in the realm of entertainment. We're 10 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Parvis Vitale, Sean Meehan. You had asked me, I asked you today whether you had anything you wanted to bring up on the show, and you'd said to me that you wanted to bring up Don Knotts. So as long as we're staying in entertainment, before we move on to the the next thing, which we've got a little bit of news business we'll get to later on in the show.
Really quickly.
No, you take
Don Knotts, it was sad to hear that he died, but my absolute favorite show, obviously, because I'm only 35, was Three's Company. Absolutely love that show. There were four people in in the last maybe 7 years that really affected me who died. First was Princess Diana. When she died, that was terribly sad.
She wasn't in that show, though.
I understand. Okay. I understand. There's a tie-in.
Okay.
Yeah, a wraparound, if you will.
I'm looking.
Callback from episode one.
Yes, yes.
Download that, please. Number two, Chris Farley. When he died, that was terribly sad.
Okay.
Phil Hartman.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And the great John Ritter. When he died, that totally saddened me. I actually wore black that day at work.
Okay. For John Ritter.
All right.
And then now that Don Knotts dies, it just reminded me of what a terrible show that was and what a fantastic show it was at the same time and how much I love that show, how much I love John Ritter, how much I always wished I could live with two women and be a chef. And so anyways, Don, oh, and I also been working on an impression of Don Knotts, if I may.
Of course.
Okay. Everybody has to close their eyes, though, so you don't look at me because I am fat and ugly. Here we go. Andy!
That's as far as you've gotten?
That's all, got.
That's all you've got?
Hey, it's been a but short
it's,
week.
It's damn good.
Wasn't it good?
That was outstanding.
Thank you.
Tune back in 3 or 4 months when we've got maybe a few sentences or a paragraph, and that's going to be it's going to be spooky.
The ironic thing, my favorite show, I referenced the Andrew Griffith Show.
Yeah.
I didn't even reference Three's Company.
Do you have another one in you? Can you do it?
I do.
Can you give it as again?
Okay. You want this one or another one completely different?
Well, we'll take them both, actually.
Okay, I'll do Don Knotts one more time. Please don't look.
Okay.
Here we go. Andy! Okay. Now this is my other impression I have. It's just a short. Once again, you can't look. Okay. This is Paul, the musical director in Late Night with David Letterman.
Paul Schaefer,
okay? Okay. Now, make believe David Letterman says something funny.
Okay.
And here's Paul Schaefer. Ah! No. No, that was too deep. One more time. David said something funny. Here's Paul Schaefer.
Very similar to Don Knotts in many regards.
Now, what if Don Knotts said something funny to Paul Schaefer? Can you give us a little recreation of what that would feel like?
All right. Paul, last week, it's funny. Ah! No, you see, now it's out of control. Okay, this is my impression of Don Knotts talking to John DeCoven. John, question number one. Who was the voice of Look Who's Talking?
I don't know. I don't know.
Thank you, everybody. My name is Parviz Fatali.
And you're going to be here all week.
Yeah. Remember, tip your server.
Tip your server. So anyways, I love Don Knotts. I'm so sorry he passed away. Although it was his time. He was getting old and frail. And I think the last movie he did was pretty great, wasn't it?
What do you mean it was his time?
He was old.
What does that mean?
He was 81.
That's enough?
Well, he was old and frail. Did you see the last movie he did? He was what was that last movie he did? Just like 2-3 years ago. He was like the... I don't even remember what it was.
But it was brilliant.
TV Repairman? Pleasantville?
No.
But he was in that.
Yes, he was in that.
And he was terrific in that.
Yeah. And I also love the Tim Conway movies from way back when in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, sort of the shakiest gun in the West type.
Just a great comedic actor, Don Knotts. I love the man.
All right, so...
I wasn't that sad when Norman Fell died. But Don Knotts?
Okay.
Because he was a better landlord, as far as I was concerned.
So, good night, funny man.
Yeah.
All right. And then you were going to say?
I was going to say that you referenced the first of the really apocalyptic passings for you was Princess Diana. And this last week, there's been a lot of news on the Princess Diana front as the driver, the chauffeur of the Diana car, of Fayed and the princess's car,
the lone survivor,
has turned. No, he died.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was.
Yeah. Thank you, Sergeant. That'll be all.
I'd be a terrible witness.
Clouseau. Clouseau.
How's he doing nowadays? Oh, he died. Oh.
I see Robin working his face like Christopher Lom, you know. but he turned out to be on the payroll of the French, their version of the FBI, their internal security, high deep undercover kind of thing, and I guess the British intelligence service is trying to get information. The French are very resistant to divulging information, but it has been confirmed, I guess, that he was, in fact, an agent of the French government. So You know, there were of course all these conspiracy theories flying around, filling the air at the time of Diana's demise, that perhaps Dodi al-Fayed was assassinated or killed rather than allowing Princess Diana to marry him, or there was some connection to suspicious entities. You know, certainly in the Arab world, it was an enormous story, and the sense was really there was an enormous amount of foul play. And I kind of wonder how this will tie into that with things so uncertain.
With Don Knotts?
With Don Knotts, absolutely. Exactly.
The people die in threes, is that correct, Robin?
That's what they say. Famous people die in threes,
and
right?
We should at least mention the other two who passed away this week.
I think it's important to do so. Do you want to do that?
No, I don't remember.
Darren McGavin.
Best known for two sort of very famous pivotal roles.
Christmas Story.
Right, was one of them. He played the old man mm-hmm. in Christmas Story. And
for me, Kolchak, the Night Stalker.
That was the other one.
Yeah. But he also has a great uncredited role in The Natural, where he is a very sinister gambler.
Yeah.
You won't find him in the credits, but it's a rather large part.
It
is kind of
a
pivotal
part.
And
he's got
terrific.
That weird eye, right?
Yeah, he's got the magic eye.
He's got the magic eye. That is him.
Yeah.
It's an uncredited role.
Yeah, it's uncredited.
That's very interesting.
And the other one?
I don't know what other films he's been in.
No, the other person that died.
Oh, Dennis Weaver.
McCloud.
McCloud, right. And also Festus on the original Gunsmoke.
Exactly. And starred in perhaps the first Steven Spielberg film, wrapping it back around to
there
Steven Spielberg.
There you go. Very nice.
Nice wraparound.
He was...
Are you going to be here next week?
I'll do my very best. I'll do my very best.
We just like to check every week to make sure that you're going to be able to make it.
I'll do my very best.
All right.
Are we going to hear the boys from Modesto this week?
Yes. Good. We got plenty of show. They're going to be the last band up. We got one more. We got another break after this, so we'll be able to play them. Absolutely.
Oh, thank goodness.
But Duel.
Duel. Yeah, that was the name of the Spielberg film. I believe it was a made-for-TV film. I don't think it was even a theatrical release.
It was. And it had a completely ludicrous idea behind it.
Yeah.
Tractor trailer going after Dennis Weaver.
Right. a strange, anonymous driver that Dennis Weaver cuts off or something early in the film when he's on like a business road trip.
Yep.
And they have this ongoing skirmish on the road. And it's what brought Steven Spielberg to real notice.
We're going to take a break. We're going to play a song called Love Sick Suicide. The band is By the Wayside. They're from Tempe, Arizona. Then we're going to come back. You've got a little news that you want to talk about?
Sure. We can talk about what I brought.
Yeah, you brought some news. Want to talk about the news? We'll do that when we get back. And there you go. We're just kind of easing it down here a little bit. All right. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, Parviz Vitali, and you back on the other side. Stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
If I let you go, it was a no meaning, no sense of competing, no treasure to flow. It takes in this paper, because your love is broken, and even's my cat. I'm tired of bleeding, my heart keeps on screaming, I'm tearing them up. So time will reverse, I'll take my hold to tender affection, trustworthy connection. Shut. I'm out of confessions and through soul destruction while burning in.
future in your eyes, no future in my eyes, no love left in my life, no life left in my mind. See no future in your eyes, no future in my eyes. I wanna say goodbye.
Is there anything you do not understand? Is there anything you understand only partially? If you have not been fully oriented, you must file a complaint with personnel. File a faulty complaint, and they dock you.
Welcome back. 23 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, episode number 5 for a Wednesday. It is March the 1st, 2006. Robin Goldstein is my name. Being a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in body recovering transsexual and patent attorney besides the team of Master Game City Planning is my game. www.schnauzerlogic.com is a website. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com is the email address. Sean, me, and Parviz Vitali are in the studio with me. And Dr. Meehan, you had some news that you wanted to bring to the table today, so let's do a little news here. Let's get a little serious.
Well, I was fascinated this last week by some stories that I heard on the BBC about things going on in our own U.S. of A.
Interesting.
And these stories centered around a Christian movement called Christian Exodus.
Hmm.
Now, I'll just give you a little bit of a USA Today story here. From his rural home near Lodi, California, Corey Burnell keeps close watch over the news from South Carolina, and he likes what he sees. Turning the state into a promised land for conservative Christians will be easier than he thought, he says. Burnell, a 30-year-old financial advisor and founder of Christian Exodus, believes thousands of religious conservatives across the USA agree with him when he says their influence on government is diluted by liberals and Republicans who have failed to do what mainstream Americans elected them to do. The answer he came up with in late 2003? Move like-minded Christians to one state, South Carolina. Burnell's plan is to recruit conservative Christians to move and tip the scales further right.
Hmm.
Now, with a decisive majority, Burnell says his group would be able to pass laws that line up with their biblical principles and their interpretation of the U.S. Constitution. Laws that include outlawing abortion and homosexual relations, allowing governmental displays of Christian symbols, and ending state-funded education. I was fascinated by this, and I did a little research. I went to the Christian Exodus site.
Sure.
And they have, you know, they state their principles and their goals and all the things you'd imagine a site like that to contain. But they had their allies. They had links to their allies.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I investigated some of their allies. Well, not a deep investigation. I clicked the link. And one of their big ally is the League of the South. These are composed
Didn't
of the...
Batman belong to that one?
Oh, I think it was the Riddler. It was... But the League of the South is a Southern power organization,
all right,
which is hoping to secede from the United States eventually to move minds and souls in the popular South to reestablish the Confederacy.
Right.
And they have little subgroups, you know, the Sons of the South and the Daughters of Dixie and things like that.
Where would I fit in that particular?
Well, actually, you will fit in, and I'll tell you how in just a second. There's a place for you. Now, I went to their site, and I believe it's just the South Carolina League of the South. Each state in the Confederacy, and I believe even some of the Western states, have their own chapters.
Mm-hmm.
But I went on and looked at the recent news, and
oh boy, they've had a heck of a time this year.
Really?
It has been a fabulous year. They call their activist kind of protest red shirt events.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a heck of a red shirt event this year, because there's nothing they like more than getting out in the faces of the annual NAACP Walk for Peace. And this year just made it doubly sweet because it was on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. So you can imagine they were thrilled and they got to shove it to the NAACP. And then they all went back to Nick's for barbecue.
It's nice when a plan comes together.
Oh, it was a wonderful day. There were balloons for the kids and it was just a fabulous time. But as I looked further, I found some more sinister aspects. It's not all smiles and fun for the South Carolina.
What?
Yeah, it's true. And I was shocked to discover this, but there was a statement on the website that concerned me, and I'm going to read it to you here. First, the league's new strategy must be implemented from the bottom up. If we don't succeed on the local chapter level, then we will not succeed at all. Second, we cannot emphasize too often or too strongly that the league is a Southern nationalist organization and not a heritage defense group. Our goal is Southern independence, complete, full, and total. This is our chief principle of action. All efforts must be tested against this question. Does it aid our quest for independence? If not, then don't do it. It's as simple as that. Third, those who merely want to talk have no place in the league. We need doers, not talkers. We have not demanded enough action and sacrifice from our members, as I wrote in the last issue of the Southern Patriot Newsletter. That must and will change at the beginning of this year and at the top. And this is where I think, and I'm sending this out there to you Southern League members, I just want to reiterate this.
Big Schnauzer Logic subscribers is what you're saying.
I believe that they're a core group.
You think that's part of the 47% that's the other? All right. You could be right. It's hard to tell. It's the internet. Nobody knows if you're a dog lover.
The biggest thing wrong with the league, now this comes from the Grand Poobah, the like royal general and
right.
admiral of all the navies and armies. He's got a big title.
Okay.
It's very...
But I'm guessing Poobah's not in there. It'd be really hard to have any respect for someone who was the Grand Poobah.
It's hard to have respect for this man.
It's too close to Pooh Bear. Oh, bother. Who was that? That was Don Knotts.
No. That was a really bad yogi.
Paul Schaefer. As Paul Schaefer.
That's Paul Schaefer.
As Paul Schaefer.
Or Beavis. Anyways, this is going out to you. Something you better look into. The biggest thing wrong with the League of the South is its members, including y'all.
Oh.
After 11 years, league members have still failed to understand its goal, Southern independence, or how it must be implemented. After 11 years, members still think we're a Southern heritage organization. After 11 years, you still hold chapter meetings to discuss what sort of buttons Confederate soldiers wore. Oh. The point is Southern independence. The point is to honor our Southern forefathers and the past by bringing its legacy to life in the present and future. Every single person in the league must understand this and contribute actively. And just for you people also to know, next week's meeting on Thursday at Jerry's Rib Shack, and I believe that the first beer is free. So that will inspire you to action. It's an amazing group.
I'm glad you shared this with us.
This is an amazing group. They have a whole page on their strategy, which is to look at people you would ordinarily dismiss, like take your hippie.
Okay.
Your long-haired, smelly hippie.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them hippies is what they call environmentalists. And they can help you because they don't like the corporatists. Now, you don't have to like them, and you don't have to bring them home for dinner. But you have common cause. So invite them in, make them your ally, and then, and this is a quote, you can turn on them suddenly when the... When we win, you turn on them suddenly. And there are all sorts of groups like that. Jews. You might not like the Jews, but you know what the Jews know about?
They know money.
Exactly.
They know money.
If the South is going to secede, cha-ching, you're going to need cha-ching. People who know money.
That's right.
But then what happens when the South secedes?
You throw them in with the hippies.
That's right. You turn on them sudden-like. And I just thought as I read this amazing document, their plan of action, you know, anyone could be reading this. I've got a feeling these people refer these new recruits to the website.
They're so confident in their plan. They're happy to... It's like Rommel publishing his plans on the web.
It is.
Fuck you. I just, Patton, I don't care if you know me or my plans. Andy?
But there it is. So you people who are being recruited understand that... They will turn on you suddenly.
All right. Listen, we kept promising we were going to play the band Nothing Less Than Modesto. We need to do
that.
All right.
Excellent.
So we got to play Nothing Less Than Modesto. All right. So what we're going to do is we'll take a real quick break here. We'll play Nothing Less Than Modesto. The song is Bad Habit, a little bit of ska. Then we'll be back on the other side. So you're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein and Parviz Vitali. Stick around. Oh, shit, we're out of time. Hold on a second here. We're not going to be able to do this. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, God, that was awful.
That was such a promising start, too.
Oh, crap. Well, I just looked at the clock. We're out of time. Oh, man. Oh,
well, you hate to see something like that happen.
I'm so sorry, dudes. Listen, next week, definitely we're going to try to make space to get the song in.
We even had a longer show today.
We're already at 34 minutes.
Did we turn on him suddenly? Is that what just happened here?
I feel horrible. I feel so badly.
We'll do it next week.
I'm so sorry. Next week for sure. All right, there you go. Well, Sunday is the Oscars. Gay Man Super Bowl. I don't know. Is that true? New Orleans is the Gay Man Super Bowl. The Oscars is the Gay Man Super Bowl. I think there are probably some gay guys playing in the Super Bowl. What can we learn from this? Parviz?
I got nothing.
Well, that's a given. When I go to you, you have to tell something you don't know. What was the name of the first American sent into space?
Don't remember.
Alan Shepard.
Alan Shepard. Try it again.
What was the name of the first American sent into space?
Alan Shepard.
The name of Donald Duck's nephews?
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Did I get it?
Yeah.
Yeah!
The TV program Laverne and Shirley. What was the name of Shirley's stuffed cat?
Boo Boo. Boo Boo Eek.
Kitty.
Boo Boo Kitty. Boo Boo Kitty.
Great.
Boo Boo Kitty.
Oh, man. I think you got the rest of these right. Oh, who was America's first postmaster general?
He's on the $100 bill.
Benjamin Franklin.
We're going to ask you again next week.
All right, I will be prepared.
And if you don't get a 100%,
Alan Shepard.
All right. The name of the cat?
Boo Boo Shepard. Boo Boo Kitty, Boo Boo Kitty.
Yeah, Shepard was her maiden name. Yeah. I think it was Boo Boo
Kitty.
The
first cat in space.
Yeah, it was Boo Boo Kitty Shepard. Yeah, she was a patron of the arts. She's a lovely lady. She's a lovely old lady, Boo Boo Kitty Cats. No, Kitty Shepard.
She's a voting member of the Academy.
All right, what do you got going on this week here?
I'm hoping I'll be back here next week.
All right.
What? You'll be back. It's always me that they worry about.
You got a quick dairy update?
We got a new product in. It's called Lala. It's a Mexican brand. The brand's called Lala. We got the yogurt. We got the sour cream. Lala yogurts, Lala sour cream. They got coconut, mango, all this crap.
Have you tried them?
Absolutely not. But you know the funny thing is, just today, the Dan representative came into my store.
Yeah.
And we were talking Dan and yogurts. And I said to
Activia.
Him.
Activia.
Exactly. I said, hey, how's Activia selling? It is the biggest selling Danon product they've ever had.
And they launched it on this program.
That's correct.
We got a link on the website and everything.
Yeah, that's bizarre. But yes, you're right.
And did you tell him you were lactose intolerant?
No, but he told me that this is supposed to get you regular. If your stool is very soft or very hard.
All right, that's it.
I'm done. Thank you. Listen, you guys, thanks very much for being here, and thank you all for being a part of the show. Oh, God. And we'll be back next week. I love you, Mom. I miss you, Dad. Show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. Enjoy the Oscars. Visit the webpage. Leave us some notes, and we'll see you next week.
And tell me whether I need Activa.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.